are we this morning, everyone? How are we going? Are we good? Yes. Very good. That's good. I have to admit, I'm excited to share this morning. And so I'm going to try to stick to my notes because sometimes when I get excited, I forget that I have notes. And that leads to all sorts of places and all sorts of time frames. But for the last few weeks, we've been traveling the journey between Easter towards Pentecost Sunday. So we had Resurrection Sunday at Easter, and for the 40 days after that Sunday is when Jesus walked the earth. Jesus spent time with people, showing himself to them, having meals with them, helping to get rid of some of the doubts that they had, revealing himself as who he promised he was, the Son of God, able to defeat even death. He spends 40 days encountering people and settling their souls. But we found it appropriate for the few weeks after Easter to have this conversation about doubt. Because what we see in Scripture is that even looking Jesus in the face after seeing him crucified, people still had their doubts. It's like there's something so profound about who Jesus actually is that it doesn't matter if we look him right in the eyes, it can still be hard to believe. And so we've been having this conversation about what it is to doubt and how we can move through doubt. And in Scripture, in Matthew 28, verse 6, we see it even in his closest disciples. It says that the 11 disciples, they went to Galilee, to the mountain where he told them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some still doubted. And some got called out more than others. We heard last week of Pastor Sue's message around doubting Thomas. He definitely got called out more than everyone else, which is super unfair. But I think, because I think most of us think in our minds that if we saw Jesus, it would be a different story. I've often told myself, like, gee, it would be, like, if you were there, it doesn't count. You saw him. Like, where is the faith in that? But clearly, what Scripture tells us is even that sometimes is not enough. And that there's more to Jesus than sometimes we can understand. And so we've been having this conversation. We've been talking about doubt. And I want to continue that this morning before we move to a new theme next week. And I want to talk about the place of community and the role that it plays in our journey with faith. And so I want to ask you a question. I wonder if you've ever found yourself becoming similar to the people that are around you. I wonder if you've ever noticed that. I have this phenomenal trait where I copy the phrases and words of people that I'm around without actually meaning to. And it means that I often find myself saying things that do not match my personality at all and at very inopportune moments. And I just don't know what it is about me. I just take on the phrases. We had one of my brother's friends staying with us and he always used to say, yes, sir, and do this. And I just cannot help it. Sometimes when someone says something, I just go, yes, sir. And then I'm like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And Joshua, my wonderful fiance, he has this phrase he uses to me a lot, which is when I'm complaining, he goes, oh, turn it up, Sarah, turn it up. And I have found myself saying, I'm still not sure what that means, but I have found, I hear it a lot, which should say something, but I found myself saying it to other people. And I had someone ask me what it means, and I said, to be honest, I didn't even know I said that to you. So that's interesting. We were both surprised when that came out of my mouth. And it's also the reason I'm super conscious around people who have a bit of profanity or swear a bit. It's not because it offends me. It's because with that beautiful subconscious trait and being a pastor who speaks on platform, it is a nightmare waiting to happen. Like, I actually really enjoy getting to share with people, and I just, yeah, live in fear of the day that something like that, this is a forewarning, please forgive me, ever happens. But I wonder if you've ever noticed yourself becoming similar to the people that you're around. It could be the way you talk. It could be maybe what you wear, your clothing. It could be your mannerisms, your gestures. It could be just a personality trait even. And I find it so often we just do pick up these little things subconsciously, and we become a little bit like the people around us. It can even happen with moods and emotions. Like, we all have people in our world that we know if we spend time with them, we're going to feel really down later. We're going to take that on. And vice versa, we have people that are so joyful and funny and happy that we know we're going to leave feeling the exact same way. See, the thing is that as people, we have this incredible power to influence others and to be influenced ourselves. And that is why community is one of the most critical things when it comes to our faith. Because the community that we choose will have an impact on how we deal with our doubts. And we all have doubts. And I want to encourage you, you know, I hope over these last few weeks, it's become clear that whether or not you doubt is not the measure of your faith. It's not the measure of how strong you've become. It's how you're able to move through your doubt. It's how you're able to push back against your doubt. It's how you're able to pursue God and purpose in the midst of your doubt. That is the strength of our faith. And so I want to encourage you, if you've ever been worried that doubting means that you don't have a strong faith, you can just get rid of that thought right now, because that's how we actually build a strong sense of faith, is through our doubts, is overcoming the things that once made us fear and made us question. It's the only way. And so I'm really grateful that we get to talk about this, because I think it's been said over the last few weeks, but the church hasn't always had a great dialogue. The church as a whole hasn't had a great dialogue around doubt. And in some cases, I know I felt certainly at different churches over time as a child that there was no place for doubt here in the church as a whole. There was no place for it. You don't have it. You hide it. You bury it down deep and you cover it with some mantra over and over again, and you ignore the things that just creep in and nibble away at you. And it's so unhealthy, and it creates this environment that's so unwelcoming and unsustainable to not just new believers, people who are trying to find God, but the rest of us that are on our journey and we're like, oh no, I know I've been doing this for a few years, but something's happened in my life and I'm not so sure about this anymore. I'm actually starting to question. Are we allowed to be honest about that? You can be on a journey for decades and have something happen to you that makes you question your faith. That's just the honest truth. And so as a community, as a church, we need to be better about having this conversation, because removing doubt actually removes what makes an environment of faith possible. Because faith only exists where we can't prove it, where we can't see it, where we can't feel it. That's the whole definition of faith, is that it's not there. We just have to choose to believe it. And so this conversation is about our choice to believe. And I had this thought as I was praying this week that the most important part about belief isn't actually being able to do it, it's wanting to. And I think that that's a real word for someone. Like, maybe all you can find in your spirit, in your heart, is I really want to believe it. That's the heart of it. That's the most important thing. Keep moving forward in that, because the want to have faith is sometimes all we have until we actually make the choice to believe and step forward, because it's lived out over years and decades, and it doesn't matter how long we've been around, we all encounter something new that makes us question. And so I think we're comfortable with the idea that we all have doubts, but we still need to know what to do with it. We still need to know how to move forward. And instead of, I think, trying to bury it and ignore it, something we tend to do as people, and it's a mistake we make in a lot of things, is we try to deal with it ourselves. We try to deal with it by ourselves. But what I want to share today is that doubt is destroyed in the faith community. This is the space where doubt comes to die. This is the space where it gets transformed into faith. it actually becomes the strength of what you believe, is this community right here. And in the last 40 days, in the 40 days where Jesus was meeting with people, there's 13 different, I don't have 13 fingers. There's 13 different accounts. That was one of those subconscious things. There's 13 different accounts of Jesus meeting with people. That amounts to hundreds of people. He sees different amounts every time. And it's clear all throughout Jesus' teachings and his journey that he has a real heart for community, that it's about being with people. We sort it out in Genesis chapter 1. It's not good for us to be alone. We belong together. And you see him encountering all these different people for 40 days, and it stirs up this conversation about who he is and our faith. And I think that what it calls out to us is that community is the place that we're meant to be. Jesus didn't show up to one person. He showed up to groups of people. He's seen the community at large. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is the power of being part of a faith-filled community and why we need it, why we should prioritize it, but also the part that we play in it. Because there's actually a mutual relationship between community. It's not just what I get from it, it's actually what I give into it as well. And so the first thought I want to share is that there's power in shared experience. In Romans chapter 1, Paul writes to the church of Rome and he opens his letter with this. He says, "I long to see you, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith." You know, I think we often believe that answers and a resolution to the problem is what cures doubt. We believe that we need an answer. We believe that something needs to happen. But in my experience, sometimes just knowing that I'm not alone is actually enough for me to hold on to what I believe when I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I don't know if you've ever had a question that you really wanted to ask. This happened to me all the time in uni. You really wanted to ask, but you were like, I'm not putting my hand up. I'm not going to ask that. I don't want people to know that I have this question. And so you don't say anything. And then some brave soul, bless them, puts their hand up and asks the question. And you just hear this collective sigh across the room because you're like, thank goodness. And it's not even that you care so much about the answer anymore. You're like, I'm just glad that someone else was as lost as I was. Like, I'm just glad that someone else didn't understand. I'm just glad that someone else knows how I feel right now. And I think so often we look so hard for answers. And the truth is with some doubts, we just will never know. There are things we might never understand. But what we can find is a shared experience in a community of faith where people understand what it is to doubt and to still trust that God is good. How to doubt and still trust that he has purpose for you. How to doubt and still look to him at the end of the day and say, I will give you my life because you're a good God. We need the shared experience of this community. Because when there's shared experience, the answer becomes less important than the belonging that we feel together. And so if you find yourself here this morning, and maybe you're encountering God for the first time and you're struggling, or maybe you've been on a journey and something's happening in your world that's causing you to question, I want to encourage you. You are in the best place right now, because here there are people who have been through that and they've overcome it. Here there are people who have been through unimaginable hardships and still sing as loudly as anyone else that God is protecting them. He's here for them. He's going to break through. The power that it takes to go through a real loss and step through that and find faith again, there are people here who know what that's like. And so our shared experience is the best thing we have when it comes to doubt, because we may never have an answer to why those things happen or why God lets them happen. There are so many questions that we have, but there are people around us who found a way through it. There are people around us who know how to love God in the midst of everything. And there are people at every point on that journey. And I'm sure you're going to find someone who's just that one step ahead, who will be happy to reach back and say, come on, I've got you. You can do this. I've been through it. God loves you and you're going to make it through this. So I want to encourage you, if you're here, get to know someone. Make sure you're in a community. Ask people their stories. Be brave enough to put your hand up and ask the question. No one will laugh at you if you doubt God. Anyone that does is just pretending. That's pride, because all of us doubt God, every single one of us. And so don't be ashamed to ask those questions, because they open up the most beautiful conversations. And if you're someone with a story, don't hold on to it. Maybe someone's not brave enough to ask it. Maybe you can be the one to step out and just mention that you've got this story of great faith and great struggle, but you want to share it with someone. Be active in that. And so you're in the right place. And I would urge you to resist to withdraw. I think that's often what we want to do. And that'll lead into the next thought, is that when we have doubts, sometimes we just want to pull away from the community of faith because we think that everyone else has something we don't. We think that we're different. We think that we can't be a part of it because I don't feel like I can stand there and be happy this Sunday because I'm really going through something. Resist that urge to withdraw, because the second thought I have is that community influences what we focus on. You know, focusing on your doubts and your fears and what you're not sure about is easiest in isolation. It's easiest when you're by yourself. We always think our mind is the safest place, and that's one of the biggest lies, because our mind is so good at convincing us of things that aren't necessarily true. And, you know, I had a season a few years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, where I was just convinced that God was done working. I was like, to be fair, God's done a great job. Like, I've seen real breakthrough, but it kind of feels like he's just done. Like, I've had my one God moment and now I'm just kind of here, and I was praying about things and not seeing anything. And the real, like, inside, I didn't really want to be at Life Group, because I'm like, I'm supposed to show up and encourage these girls. I'm supposed to show up and make sure that they're able to have faith. And I'm in the middle of this season. But what I found was that by just committing to staying in community, every week, I got to see what God was doing in their lives. Every week, I got to see the hand of God at work in someone that I cared about. And when it wasn't enough for me, because I couldn't see God moving in my life, it was sure enough for me that I could see him working in someone else's. Sometimes all we have is looking at what God's doing in someone else's life and having the faith that that is the work of a good God and that he's not going to be done with me. And community influences what we focus on. And so instead of withdrawing, we need to lean in. We need to be a part of the conversation, because I promise you that when you can see people around you really experiencing the love of God, it really refires something in your soul. It really reminds you that he doesn't forget us. It really reminds you that he can do some incredible things, and he's not done. He's never going to be done with bringing more life, more joy, more restoration, more freedom in our lives. But there will be moments where it feels like he's done. And that's why we need to continue in this community. We need to continue to stay connected in. And we rest sometimes on the faith of others. You know, there's a story in scripture of a man who's healed because of the faith of his friends. They lower him in the ceiling. We don't know what he knows about God, but just because of their heart, he's healed. And I want to encourage you, there's just so much breakthrough in just being around the sense of faith, being around a community that believes the best for you, that will pray it over you, that will speak it over you. You don't want to isolate from that. That's a lie. That's a lie to pull you away from the words of encouragement of the people of God. And so we need to make sure that we're in community, because it will influence what we focus on. And what we focus on will become the biggest thing in our life. You know, in Matthew 28, where I shared earlier that the disciples are there and they worship God, and then it says, and then they doubted him. The very next scripture is not God addressing doubt. It's not God really, Jesus addressing doubt. Same, to be fair, but it's not Jesus addressing doubt. It's him giving them a commission. And so it's this picture, like, he's not like, oh, well, we better sort out this whole doubt thing. He's like, that's cool. Now you go and share this story that you're not, like, you still got questions about. Go tell them what I did. Go tell them who I am. Go share the good news to everyone around the world. And so when we're in this community of faith, it reminds us that our focus isn't on ourselves anyway. Our focus is outward. Our focus is to the people that God has called us to save. And just because we have doubts doesn't mean our testimony and our story of a good God is not the truth, because that's the whole point of the faith, is that even when we're not sure, we're saying, this is true, this is good news, God is good, and I'm going to share it even when I don't feel it. And so we need to stay in that community. And that missional thought, it brings me to the next thought, which is that community is a two-way street. You know, there's a proverb in chapter 17, verse 17, that says, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for a time of adversity. And you know, when we're in community, we often lean on the people around us. Jesus leaned on the people around him. He went to his disciples to pray with him. Jesus needed community. But the community also needs us. If you read that proverb, I think we always read from, well, we tend to read from the point of view that we're the ones being helped, but sometimes we need to remind ourselves that we have another role. Yeah. So if I have a brother to lean on in the time of adversity, then sometimes I need to be that brother that someone can lean in. And if I am not here, I cannot do that. If I'm not a part of this community, how will I be a pillar of strength and share my story of faith to the people who need to hear it? Because don't kid yourself, there are people who need to hear what you've come through to have the strength and the faith that you have today. And you know, I wonder if sometimes when it comes to community, we undervalue the power that God uses to work through us, because it actually takes the responsibility away from us. We have this, I wonder, in a voice that says, God will look after them. God will take care of them. God will help them. And I don't think that's wrong, so long as you're also trying to do something to help them. It's like that old story. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but it's a bit of fun. There's a man trapped on an island and a speedboat comes along and says, oh, do you need help? And he goes, no, like, God will save me. And then he goes, righto, the speedboat leaves. And then a cruise ship goes past. I don't know how it docks on the island. Don't ask those questions. And they come and they say, do you need to be rescued? He's like, no, I'm waiting for God to rescue me. And then eventually, sad story, he ends up in heaven. Good story, bad story. He ends up in heaven. And he says, God, why didn't you save me? And he's like, I sent a speedboat and a cruise ship and all these people. And it's this great story of how sometimes we ignore people who are trying to help us and we don't engage community because we're like, God will fix me from my room. God will fix me in isolation. And there are powerful stories where he does intervene. I do believe in that. But I also believe that that's more common where someone has no choice, where someone does not have the ability to engage. But where we have the ability to engage, it's actually our responsibility, because God works through people. We are the hands and feet. We are like someone's praying for encouragement. Like sometimes maybe God will bring that directly to them. But more often than not, it's going to be me bumping into you and just saying, hey, I've been thinking about you. And I just want to say, you're doing a great job. Like, your journey you're on is really inspiring me, how you're able to just keep coming every Sunday, because I know what's going on and I know it's hard. But I want to say, like, you're doing an amazing job. Like, just stay a part of it. Just stay involved. God, the Bible is full of stories of God moving through people. We are his chosen form of bringing change to the world that's been entrusted to us. Like, let's take charge of that. Let's be honored by it and actually do something about it. And so we need to be able to be that brother, that strong person that someone can lean on. And to do that, we have to be in the community of faith. You know, doubts are the sort of thing that are never going to fade away until the day that we all see Jesus face to face. And so, for all intensive purposes, that great commission to go and share the gospel is the one focus that we have. And it means being in community. It means encouraging people that they can be a part of this story with with having questions. People are allowed to be curious. People are allowed to wonder about God, but we need to be a community that has a strong story of encountering doubt and trusting God's greater than that doubt, of encountering doubt and trusting that God embraces me with my doubt, of encountering doubt and knowing that God sometimes brings miraculous breakthroughs that actually become a testimony that people lean on in their times of doubt. And so we need to make sure that we're in that faith community. And I would encourage you, if you're looking for that, and if you're in this area, this is a great faith community, but there's more than Sundays. There's life groups and small groups. There's youth groups. There's all sorts of things you can be a part of. There's events. There's friends that you can connect with. Maybe it's family or friends, but find a faith community to be a part of. And it's not about finding one that doesn't have doubt, because it doesn't exist. Like, that's everything that I've been talking about this morning. But it is about finding a community where you feel safe, even in those moments where you're unsure, where you trust that you're going to be welcomed and accepted and just loved and encouraged in every moment. And I think we really have that here. And we're really blessed to have that here, because it means that people are being intentional. It means that people are already doing this. But I want to encourage us to take that next step and be reminded of how powerful it actually is. And so I just have three really simple questions this morning. The application worked, I mean, really easy for me technically, because be in community. But the first question I want to ask is, do you want to believe in Jesus? And I want to ask that because I think your want is more important than whether you're able to yet or not. I think your desire to know God is actually why you're wrestling with doubt, because otherwise there would be no wrestle. You know, that's the beautiful thing about doubt. It brings in us an awareness that we'd actually desire to want to believe in Jesus. And so I want to ask that question this morning if you're here, or maybe you're going through something and you already would say you know Jesus. Do you want to believe that there will be a breakthrough? So even though you can't see it, the desire to believe that he's good, the desire to believe that he's still with you is so important. And the second question is just, are you part of a faith-filled community? You know, we need each other, and we need each other more than once a week a lot of the time. Make sure that you find a way to get connected in. It could be through Sunday. It could be through a team even. You can find great community in a team. You can find great community in a life group, or even just making a friend, inviting them out for coffee. Your community can start small. Not everyone starts with 10 people. Like, if you're someone like me, I sometimes work better in a smaller community. Invite someone out for coffee, make a step, and ask someone their story. And I just want to make this point here. When we're talking about being a part of the faith community, that's not an exclusive concept. It is so important that this is not your only community, because we are called to be in the world. We are called to reach people. We are called to love people so, so much. And so as much as it is important that you have a faith community to strengthen your faith, make sure that that is not the only community you are a part of. Make sure you are building community somewhere out there where you are a light and you're a beacon of hope, because there is a balance to the communities that we have. And then the last question is simply, how can I be more involved in my faith community? You know, I would ask, how are you providing hope to people who need hope? When was the last time that you took the time to encourage someone's faith? You took the time to sit down and ask someone their story. Be intentional. Maybe that brings about a conversation that you can have. You don't need to be a pastor or some sort of a scholar to have a meaningful conversation about God, because a lot of the time the conversations are much more simple than that. It's just, how do I trust? How do I get through this? How did you get through this? What do you hold on to? When was the last time that you had a conversation like that? And so I just want to encourage you all this morning that, you know, we've been talking about doubt, and there was a lot of it 2,000 years ago, staring Jesus right in the face, and there's a lot of it today. But our faith is nothing more and nothing less than choosing to believe who Jesus is, choosing to believe that he is the Son of God, that he saved us, that he loves us, and that when he was here, he showed us exactly who God is, which was loving and kind and forgiving and filled with grace and compassion. And like Levi shared a message last week, it's the too good to be true that's actually true. That's what the gospel is. And so I want to encourage you this morning that doubt is just a part of that journey. Doubt is just a friend of our faith. It builds us up. It helps us to become strong, and it gives us a story to reach out and give to someone who maybe doesn't know God. Maybe it's a gift sometimes that we don't want, but when we know God and we can walk through the struggles of life and come out facing in a positive direction, maybe that's a gift to the world who's trying to do it without God. And so I want to encourage you with that this morning. And I wonder if you would stand and with me this morning. And I just want to pray. And if you're here this morning and you've maybe been struggling with some doubts and some questions that have been on your mind, and you've just not known what to do with them, you've just not known how to move forward, but you know that you want to, just right now, if we could all just close our eyes and give everyone just a moment with themselves, I just want to encourage you that God can really step in through people, through many different ways, but we're going to pray this morning that you would have an encounter that actually strengthens your faith today, that you would leave here feeling like you can actually continue this journey of faith. You can actually take your next step confidently, that maybe for the first time in a long time, you could say and trust with your heart that God is actually good. And so if that's you and you just want to take that step, I want to encourage you right now, if you could just raise your hand, I would just love to pray for you. If you've had a doubt, you're walking through it, and you really just want to be able to take those next steps. And I'm just going to pray right now over each of you. Yep, plenty of hands. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you that you embrace not just us, but everything that we come with, God, including our doubts. And right now, I just pray for every person who's raised their hand, God, that you would just honor the faith that they have to say, I want to step through this, God. I want to step through it with you. And the help that they're asking for, God, I pray that you would meet them where they are right now. I pray that they would encounter people who encourage them. I pray that they would be reminded of your goodness, God. I pray that as they step out of this room today, that they're feeling of doubt would be replaced with a sense of joy, that they can step forward without fear, without worry, without concern, that doubt would no longer weigh them down, God, and that we can trust in you with our whole hearts, God. And I pray that you'd bring them into an incredible community of faith people that can be there for them. In your mighty name, God, amen. You know, I'd also just love to give a moment for people who maybe have never taken an initial step towards God, because I think that it's one of the most powerful decisions you can ever make. And in life, there are so many doubts, but Jesus gives us this anchor that we can hold on to no matter what happens in our life. And so if that's you this morning, if we could just close our eyes and keep our heads bowed. If you want to make that step towards God this morning, if you want to actually say, I'm going to go on this journey, I'm going to actually take that step, if you could raise your hands and I'm going to pray for you as well. And I just want to give it a moment, because I know that sometimes the voice of doubt can creep in and we're not sure what's happening. But I want to encourage you that God is a good God and that he has so much purpose for you. There's so much goodness in store for you. And so, Father God, right now, I just thank you for every hand that's raised that represents a decision to move towards you, God. And I pray that you'd meet each of those people right now, right where they're at. And I pray that you'd bring them the comfort and the peace that you know that they need, God, in this decision. And I pray that you'd begin to just fill their hearts with the sense that they can trust that you've got great purpose, that they have not been forgotten, God, and that there is nothing in their past that is separating them from you, because you love us so fully and so wholeheartedly, no matter how we come, God. And I just pray for a strength in their spirit that they know you love them, that they know they're a part of a wonderful community, God. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Well, I'm going to hand over to Pastor Levi, and he's going to share more about what you can do if you made that decision.